meeting. First of all, I do apologise for starting late. But there was an accident on the N2, so it's influencing the flow of traffic on the N1. So some of the members were late because of that. But Honourable Waters will be joining us later. He's still stuck in traffic. And we've also received an apology from our Honourable Minister, but we do have the Deputy Minister with us today. So, any other apologies, Secretary?
Yeah. Yes, Chair, there are a couple of apologies I've received this morning. One is from Honourable Folo, who won't be with us today. She's attending by election in Potchefstroom. Another one is from Honourable Makuba. She is also serving in the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs, and today she's attending Home Affairs Committee. And one is from Honourable Bola. He's in an oversight visit to the Human Settlement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There we have the minutes. Apologies. We, Honourable Members, in terms of our agenda, we have three matters. The briefing by the Department of Social Development of the draft white paper on families, and the briefing also by the same department on the quarterly performance and financial report of October 2012 to March 2013, and then the last item is the adoption of outstanding minutes. Welcome, Honourable Waters. We did say that you were caught in traffic. So the it's two substantial presentations that we have. If we have time, we will adopt the minutes. If we don't, it will have to stand over. Is that fine with Honourable Members? Thank you. We'll now give over to the department to give us a briefing on the draft white paper on families. Honourable Deputy Minister, would you like to say anything to introduce the presentation, or would you reserve your comments for later?
You caught me. I nearly said unprepared. But I'm always prepared. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, and thank you very much, and good morning to all the members of the media, and everybody who's here. You know, in these times that we live in, God is still alive, and God is still in control. God is still raising men and women who desire to see change. A nation should not be judged by how it treats its highest citizens, but its lowest citizens. So to be free is not merely to cut off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. True freedom is self-discovery. Now, in order for us to be able to do this, along with this, and along with the economy, the family is universally viewed as one of the essential sectors without which no society can function. We need to have strong families, stable, healthy families, which are the heart of a strong society. It is also within the family environment that an individual physical, emotional, and psychological development occurs. It is from our family that we learn unconditional love. We understand right from wrong, and we gain empathy, respect, and self-regulation. These qualities enable us to engage positively at school, at work, in society in general. The absence of a stable, nurturing family environment has a profound damaging impact on the individual. often leading to behavior which is profoundly damaging to society. I just wanted to read that statement to say this is the gist of the family white paper. We want to see ourselves having this type of families. That will, from that family, we can be proud to say we are building a nation. From that family, we can be proud to say we are building a country. From that proud family unit, we can be proud to say this is a place where to live in is healthy. So I just wanted to say that in short, and maybe give over to the officials to give the presentation on the white paper on families. I think the issue of families to me is very important, because without a family there's no nation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Mr. Wazi Mahasela, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. As the Chairperson has already outlined, from us as the Department of Social Development, the presentation first on the white paper that was adopted by Cabinet this year. It went to Cabinet and was approved this year. But what's important is really that we have traveled a very, very long journey as a department to arrive at where we are regarding the white paper. So the emphasis really is going to be on the program that we are driving as a department in entrenching and making sure that the objectives of the white paper are met. That's going to be our one presentation that's going to be led by Deputy Director General Connie Muman, who's responsible for welfare services. And then after that, we'll then have, which is the second presentation that we've been invited to come in and make here, it is the performance of the Department of Social Development for the period October 2012 to December 2012, and the period from January 2013 to March 2013. So it will be those two quarters, the third and the fourth quarter. And the person who's going to be leading the presentation is Mr. Tabani Buthelezi, who's our Chief Director responsible for monitoring and evaluation. And the financials, that is how we did financially in those three quarters, will be led by our acting Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Clifford Apple. I would now, Chair, with your permission, hand over to Ms. Mamadou to lead the presentation on February. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll be leading the presentation on white paper on families. It's no more a draft. It was approved by Cabinet on the 26th of June this year. The outline of the presentation, basically, I'll touch on the purpose, the structure itself, the background, and the extract of situation analysis, definition and types of families proposed in the white paper, response strategies, and also coordination and implementation of the white paper itself. And later on then I'll touch on a slide that speaks to the recommendation. The purpose today is to brief the committee on the white paper on families, as well as the proposed strategies and programs that are proposed in the white paper to strengthen families and promote family life. This slide just speaks to the structure of the white paper, how it looks. It's got glossary forward and those sections that speaks to introduction, the context, legislation framework, and then we have section 4 that is really the gist of the paper that speaks to response strategies for families, and also section 5 that proposes how as a way of background, I think slide 5 and 6 talks to background. The process of developing this white paper started as far back as 2004 when a research was commissioned by the department on the structure and needs of families in South Africa. Then the research resulted in the development of a national family policy then, which was later presented to Cabinet. And then Cabinet recommended that a white paper on families be developed to address the plight of families in the country. Then that's when we started the process of developing a green paper, which was widely consulted. And then we also had public hearings in rural areas and also in urban areas. We also consulted experts and also government structures, as indicated in the slide. The white paper, as I indicated, was approved on the 26th of June, 2013. Situation analysis, I could not put everything, but I thought these excerpts are important to mention that the family in South Africa is under threat and is unable to play its critical role of socialization, the role of nurturing, care, and protection of its members effectively due to various factors. There are social ills that families have to contend with. It includes, amongst others, issues of poverty, high rate of unemployment, domestic violence, issues of crime, high level of unwanted pregnancies, issues of absent fathers, and the general decay in moral values. These are some of the social ills, and they are not limited to this. If you go into the white paper, there's a list that families have to contend with. These challenges contributed and they are still contributing to family disintegration and vulnerability. Hence, the development of the white paper on families to try and address this issue. It is envisaged that the implementation of the white paper will result in the well-functioning and resilient families that are able to nurture and promote care to their family members. In the white paper, we also propose different types, but before I speak to the different types that are proposed, it's also important to mention that we have a working definition in the white paper. Taking into consideration the legislative framework presented in the Section 3 of the white paper, as well as the consensus reached during the consultative process, we came up with a working definition. I must say it was not very easy, but at the end we agreed that this is a working definition that is going to inform the white paper. The definition reads as follows. We believe that the family is a societal group that is related by blood, adoption, foster care, or the ties of marriage, be it civil, customary, or religious, also civil union or cohabitation with connections that extend beyond a particular physical residence. Now, based on that definition, we said for our context in South Africa, because we believe that even at the UN level, there's no agreed definition of family. So we had to make sure that whatever we come up with fits our own situation. Types of families proposed, amongst others, in the slides I mentioned a few. If you go through the white paper, there's a section that deals with different types of families. We talk about cohabitation, single parent families, female headed households, skip generation households, child and youth headed households, same sex relationships and marriages, polygamous marriages, migrant families, and the list goes on. Now, in the paper, we also propose theoretical approaches that underpins the white paper that will assist us to really provide support to families and have an understanding of common approach. The first one that we propose in the paper is social development approach, which we believe that families need social support in terms of development so that they can be able to support their own families and strengthen family life. We also have systems approach, which we believe that family is viewed as a social system and is interdependent on other systems like your schools, your economy, issues of poverty, churches, any other system. If it doesn't work properly, it has got an impact on the functioning of the family. Life cycle approach, we believe and we trust that at some stage families go through different life cycles in their stages, be it child rearing, be it marriage, divorce, death, retirement, and so on, even illnesses. And this has got an impact on how the family copes and how it deals with such situations as they live. Strength-based perspective, we believe that we need to move from the premises that families have got their own strengths, then you look at their strengths and build on them rather than assuming that they cannot do anything on themselves. Rights-based approach, we know that our South African constitution really focuses on issues of rights, so whatever we do, whatever support we provide needs to be in line with our constitution. Now, the strategies that are proposed in the white paper, the first one is promotion of healthy family life. Under each one, there are detailed recommended strategies and research actions, amongst others, proposed in the white paper. It was not easy to put everything and even to elaborate on each one. Under promoting healthy family life, some of the recommended strategies are as follows. We need to affirm the importance of family in society. We also need to ensure that we promote positive values and moral regeneration. We need to encourage fathers' involvement in their children's upbringing. Under family strengthening, there are also few recommended strategies. We need to support the family in its caregiving function, because if you look at the proposed approach, it tells you that at some stage, a family is required by the stage where they are in to provide the caregiving function. Also to promote family solidarity under family strengthening. Then we have a third strategy that deals with family preservation, which basically deals with issues of prevention, early intervention, statutory intervention, then reunification and aftercare within the family context. Now, the section that deals with coordination really indicates that for the successful implementation of the white paper on families, we'll have to depend on sound intersectoral and interdepartmental systems. The white paper will be implemented at different levels, at national, at provincial level, and also at municipal level. We need monitoring structures. We have outlined those in the paper to ensure that there's proper reporting and implementation by key stakeholders. When you look at the paper, we've listed various government departments with their roles. Then I recommend that the portfolio committee note the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Kumalo. Honourable members, there you have the presentation. Is there any questions? On the presentation? Honourable members, fine. Honourable Waters?
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. I would like to ask, at the beginning of the document, I'm referring to the document, and you talk about the breakdown of the families, and you talk about the labour system, how that broke families down, which is quite right, but you failed to mention what HIV did to families and the decade of denialism through the policy of that. I'd just like to know, why did you leave HIV out as one of the factors that broke down families? Then on page, because this is a document that went to Cabinet, I take it, right? As you said, was adopted on the 26th of June. If you look at page 20 on the actual white paper, there's a table there in childhood It says in 2002 there were 5,000 childhood households in the province. In 2007 it remained at 5,000, and in 2010 it dropped to 1,276. So I take it these stats are correct. This is the report that went to Cabinet and the report that you compiled. So I'd like to know how and where the Minister gets the figure of 17,000 childhood households in Clockwork, when she made that announcement on the 2nd of August, some 36 days after this report was actually adopted by Cabinet. I mean, the Minister must have got the figures from somewhere. She wouldn't have made it up herself, and I take it she got it from the department. So where did you get the figures of 17,000 childhood households from, when your own report here says 1,276? It's a massive difference. Then, just on the costing of the white paper, has there been a costing? And if so, can you give us some indication of what the costing would be? And also the implications to social workers, because I take it social workers will be doing the bulk of the work as far as, bulk of the work as far as families, you know, reunification and keeping families together are concerned. Given the fact that there's a massive shortage of social workers, and in fact, I think in August the Minister replied to a parliamentary question of mine and said there's a 77% shortfall for all legislation pertaining to her department alone. Who's going to do this work? And how are you going to ensure that if you want the current social workers to implement the white paper, how are you going to ensure that this quality implementation of the white paper, given the workload that the average social worker currently faces? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Waters. Honourable Magakula.
Yes, Chairperson. You see, I've been quiet on this matter, but we want to ask from the department about this white paper, that what are we really want to strengthen in the family. Are we strengthening that the family must be organized, or are we strengthening that we have to give the family the family things, maybe to give food parcel or whatever? Is what I want to know. Why are we pushing this? What we really want to achieve with this?
Thank you. Any other members? Mr. Kumalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let us welcome the presentation, Chair. Let us also comment that it is clear and show that it is actually wants to see the families very strong and the nation grows. I just arrived, Jefferson, and listening carefully to the Deputy Minister when she said without a nation, without a healthy, without a family, sorry, there will be no nation. I think that is very commendable, because I mean, as a government, without families, really we won't have nation. But when we're listening to the presentation, Chairperson, there are slides that, although I never checked exactly what page is on it, but my comment would be to say the presentation to me shows that the social ills and all the sketches that are happening in our families are worrying the department. Because families has no longer having their lives, normal lives, living their normal lives because of the sketch that affects the families. So I'm seeing the department having taken a very serious action in taking care of our families. But I do want to ask this last question to say, which are those interdepartmental that they want to work to work on these two and to strengthen the families? Are they having any specific targeted departments that are seeing this good work that can be done in conjunction with? Thanks.
Thank you,
Thank you very much, Honorable Kumalo, Honorable Kala.
The quality of information in the reports, I'm very concerned. If you look at page 19 of the actual report, I don't know if you've got it in front of you. 19, table 2.6. If you look at the 2010 figures, this is to do with the proportion of children aged 17 or younger living with biological parents by race. So mothers only 3.3% of all children are living with their mothers, as opposed to 33.5% are living with their fathers only. Now, your emphasis was to get fathers to be more proactive in the raising of their children.
Yet it seems to me, according to your figures, not mine, that mothers need to be more proactive in the upbringing of the children. So what figures must we believe in? And if this went to cabinet, I'm quite shocked that it actually went through cabinet. And then if you also look at page 29 of the same report, you talk under teenage pregnancy, you talk about teenage pregnancy dropping from 16.1 to 13.7%. But then if you look at the table, your table says there's been an increase from 19.1 to 24.4%, which means that one in four teenagers, females, are pregnant. So what figure are we supposed to believe, the 13.7 or the 24.4? Thank you, Jim.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Waters. I think those are very important points, because if I look at it just at first glance, it looks like there's been a mix-up on page 90 of the figures. So can the department please just reflect on those two matters also, please. Honourable Gava?
I can...
Our government, this far at least, those whose
policy directives we implement and follow have not referred to it as such, and we could not venture into a kind of terrain as a department. Thank you. I'll hand over to Ms. Neymar for that further response to that question.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Members. In terms of the costing of the white paper, it was costed with three scenarios. The report can be sent to the committee, and we are currently engaging National Treasury in terms of ensuring that resources are made available. Currently, as we implement the aspects of the paper, we are using our current baseline. In terms of who will implement, yes, we agree we do have shortages of social workers. However, the paper considers that there are other professionals that can really play a role in terms of supporting and strengthening families. Your community development practitioners, your lay counselors, your social auxiliary workers, and other service professionals within the sector. We're not limiting the implementation to social workers only. However, we acknowledge that there's a specific role that social workers need to play in terms of supporting families. What are the strengths of the white paper itself or the purpose? The purpose really is to ensure that we have policies in the country that are really family-centered. Because as we were developing the paper, such questions were also asked when we were doing consultation. To say, what is it that's going to be different with the white paper? The idea is that we consolidate what is there and also bring in new things to ensure that families are properly supported. Because currently, if you, for instance, let's take an example of a housing. If an individual applies for a house, the approval will concentrate on the house, but we say, look at the broader family, because this individual stays within a family or lives within a family context. How well can you support everybody else by assisting one person? So that's how we are saying, let services be family-centered than individually based. There will be individual cases, but we want the whole family to benefit. If there's a substance abuse person in the family, deal with the whole family because they are somehow affected. It's not only the individual person. The departments that we are thinking of working with or that are part of the implementation of the white paper, because we also developed an integrated implementation plan that we can also forward to the committee together with other departments, because we realize that as social development alone, there's no way we can make an impact if we don't work with other departments. The first one is Department of Health, we have Home Affairs, we have Human Settlements, we have Arts and Culture, Justice and Constitutional Development, South African Police Service, Education, both basic and higher. And we said as we continue implementing, we can co-opt other key departments as we continue. And we also acknowledge that there are key departments like your agriculture and also rural development. They are very key in the implementation of the white paper. There were questions on the figures. The page 29 on teenage pregnancy, all we're trying to show there, it was the increase in terms of issues of teenage pregnancy, to show that we really need intervention because this is an area that is neglected. We don't have proper strategies as social development sector to intervene. It's mostly health and basic education, but we're saying, what is it that we can do to ensure that we deal with issues of teenage pregnancy? But that table for us is showing from 2002 to 2008, what is the change and what was the growth in terms of teenage pregnancy. Page 20 on the table for child-headed household. The table there indicates it was a 2010 information from South African child girls. So since then, you will realize that even SA, when they did the census number has grown. However, when the paper was processed, we just focused on the information that we got just to show the trend. But the reality of the matter is that we have a high number of child-headed households that we still continue to verify in terms of the Children's Act. Almost, the status A approximates 92,000 child-headed households. The numbers specifically asked by Honourable Member Waters on Tlokwe, the number of child-headed households that are challenging issues of insecurity and malnutrition in families varies in terms of each municipality, each province, and the particular area, because what we do an assessment in terms of what are the numbers. Remember, we're working around the number that is 92,000 in the country, plus or minus 92. So these children are still vulnerable, and we need to really support them in terms of food security. I think others were comments. The last question from the Honourable Chair was around how does it link to the whole process of review of white paper for social welfare. Yes, it links, because I think when we developed the white paper, Cabinet acknowledged the importance of family. They said, elevate it to a white paper. Don't leave it at a policy level. Because if it's a white paper, we think it carries more weight and people will really take you seriously if you elevate families to have its own white paper. So that's what we did. Now, as we review the broader white paper on social welfare, we'll have to take into consideration the proposals that are there and other areas that might have been missed to bridge the gap when we develop the white paper. As I indicated, we do have an implementation plan, because the Chair was asking whether it will be possible to implement. We acknowledge that in an intersectoral way, there are challenges of implementation. However, we believe that the forum that we have created will really facilitate the implementation, because we also report to the cluster in terms of how we're doing and providing. We propose that we need to provide 6 monthly reports to the cluster so that they can monitor departments whether they are doing well or not. Chair, if Honourable Chair, if I've left something, I'll be reminded. I think others may comment.
May I add, please, Chair, as well? We would hate to...
Just 1 minute, could you comment on the... on page... is it on the... that's on page 29?
I forgot to deal with the table of page 19. The table there indicates that the state is 8.1 for mothers only and 2.1. I think there we're trying to show that even children who are staying with their mothers, they still need their fathers if they are available to really play their critical role. The issue of absent fathers is concerned by this table, because there are very few children who are staying with their fathers only. So we say even where the biological parent who is a mother staying with the child, we need the father.
Just 1 minute, Mrs. Kumaro. If you look at page 19, I don't know whether we've got the wrong document, but the percentage, it says proportion of children aged 17 years or younger living with biological parents by race, South Africa 2002 and 2007. Now, in 2007, it says 46% live with a mother only. And in 2010, it says 3.3% live with a mother only. And 28% with their fathers only. But in 2007, it was 2.8% with their fathers only. So, the stats doesn't make sense, or can you explain that to us? That's why we're asking, maybe there's been a switch, what is it, or is it right? Just help us out there on the whole water.
I mean, maybe the department, I mean, should go back and relook at the WhatsApp and bring it back to us when they know what they're talking about. That's the first thing. And secondly, the explanation about the child-headed households in Clockway, Northwest, the fact of the matter is, Chair, if there's been that increase in 3 years in one municipality, not a province, because remember this figure of 1,276 was for the entire province, not for one municipality, that gives you an increase of 1,332% in 3 years. And I would like to know why the department didn't have emergency intervention then, and why did they wait 3 years before it became a crisis, before they intervened. I don't know if the director is listening to me. Edith? Thanks. And second, and then if you take that figure, if we are to believe what your explanation is, which I don't believe the explanation. Then that means throughout the country we should have 1.2 million childhood households in the country now. And I'd like to know what you're doing in the other provinces to help those children, apart from Clockway. If we are to believe your explanation, which I must reiterate, I certainly do not believe your explanation. Thank you.
can we focus on the white paper? Let's leave the issue of Clockway for another time, because we're not focusing on towns. We're looking at the department, as a, at the family policy as a whole. I don't know why you snuggled in that question on board. So can you please just respond to the issue on page 90 first, please?
Honourable Chair, I think I see what you were saying in 2010. I will have to verify the table and provide the comment with the information.
Yeah, just in future, please make sure that the information provided with the committee has been substantiated. I take a very dim view of this. Mr. Mahasala.
Thank you, Chair. We tried our utmost best, really, in the sense that the organization that had quite a strong contribution in the white paper was within the Human Science Research Council. So we really took that which they provided us as really kind of valid. And the point that I would like to raise as well, Chair, is that we would hate as the Department of Social Development to leave this room having created the impression that when it comes to statistics, information, and data, all is good and well. Far, 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 far from it. Right now, as you would, I think, appreciate, Chair, it is provinces that periodically feed to the National Department various statistics and information that they themselves collect in areas in which they are responsible. And often there's quite a huge variation between that which we receive from them and when we counter-check that against other sources such as Statistics South Africa, Children's Advocacy Group that was referred to that produces the child gauge. So there are those kinds of challenges. Safe to say, though, that there is some light at the end of the tunnel, which was brought about by a very huge disagreement between Statistics South Africa and the Department of Health on maternal health in the country. There was fundamental disagreement between the National Statistics Agency as well as the Department of Health and to the sources of that kind of information. So what we are doing now as various government departments, in order to make our statistics to be rigorous and stand up to scrutiny and challenge, is really that through the National Statistics System, there are specific procedures now that each department of government must follow before it issues publicly in a government document a number, a figure as an official statistic. So what I just think that it's quite important to qualify that, because as our Honourable Member Waters has pointed out, the issue really of data, information, statistics, it's far, far from being in a position and situation that we would like to see it being. And we are trying to work with those who who understand these things far better, really, to improve on the kind of information that we make available to the public. Thank you.
Go to the second presentation.
I just wanted to say that I don't know the name of the member there. He talked about implementation. Thank you very much for raising that. But I just wanted to say to you, as we are seated here, we are a family. We are going to sit together and look at the implementation strategy together and agree how to implement the white paper together. When we talk about families, let's not politicize families. Family is very important. What you need to do is to agree on how we want to make sure that all the ills that are there in the families are in a way corrected by us together. But Magakon, family, asikhulumi ngomndeni, sikhuluma ngefamily, sikhuluma ngawe as a father figure, a mother figure, abantwana bakho, how to make sure that you give them love, how to make sure that you take care of them, how to make sure that you assist them to be educated, how to make sure that you create a better life for them. Let us sikhuluma ngayo. Asikhulumi ngokuthi uyobuthezela bonke abo anti, mina ungasazi ukuthi babiza kanjani. We are not talking about that. Sifuna ukwakha lo mndeni wakho and make sure ukuthi lo mndeni wakho wakha eminye imindeni ephilayo. That is what we are talking about. Bengithi nje ngikuhlathulele kancane nje ukuthi siyaphi kahle kahle. Abantwana, children must be children. A father must be a father. A mother must be a mother. A sister must be a sister. A brother must be a brother. And for us to be able to go back to that, we need to sit down, all of us, media, everybody, all the stakeholders, and say, how do we do this? How do we correct this social ill? How do we make sure that our country is living again?
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. So we will, just in terms of the implementation plan, which will be over a 3-year period, right? When will you be finished with the plan?
It's done, Honorable Chair. We will send it to the committee.
Right. And obviously, in the plan will also be the departments that work with you on the plan and the departments in the plan. Mr. Mahasela.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think you've pointed out something that is really, really, really important in terms of the white paper on families. It cuts across quite a number of government departments. So some of the successes, for instance, I would like to present what I consider to be a key point. For instance, Chair, if you look at our projections for different social grants that we pay in the country, if for whatever reason, the employment situation in the country were to worsen, that is, less people employed, there will be a greater demand for social grants in our countries, in our societies. So it means then that in order for us to be able to see some of the primary objectives that we have in the white paper, other dependencies would have to be realized. For instance, making sure that more people are in gainful employment, etc. So if also the other aspect is that in the white paper there are things that we're already doing in the department that definitely are going to be strengthening. But there are these other big item dependencies that come from other departments. So we would appreciate if in 3 years' time, when we then being asked to come and review how well we have done in implementing the white paper, that those considerations do indeed be taken into consideration then.
Can we go over to the second presentation? That's on your performance strength for the October 2012 to 2013. You're doing the presentation, Mr. Makatana.
It's Mr. Buthelezi that's sitting with Mr. Akana. Thank you.
Mr. Buthelezi, you may proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and to the Honorable Members of the Popular Committee, good morning, and to our Deputy Minister, thanks for the opportunity. In response to the portfolio committee's request for the department to present the performance trends on the two last quarters of the previous financial year, which is October to December 2012, as well as January to March 2013, we have developed the presentation. And the outline is the purpose, the priorities, the key achievements, the overall performance. What we have done as well, Honorable Members, we have come up with the challenges and interventions, and my colleague, Mr. Appel, CFO, will present the finances in terms of the explanation. The purpose of the presentation is to provide a summary analysis of the performance trends, as well as the challenges that you encountered with respect to the implementation of some of our ministerial priorities, as reflected in the department's annual performance plan of the previous financial year, which is 2012-2013. As I've said, Honorable Chair, we do have the last section of the presentation, which is challenges and interventions that we had to develop in response, but it's up to the committee to say if we want to take them through. But for us, we wanted to leave mainly on the summary of the overall performance, because some of those challenges, especially interventions, were implemented and there was a substantial improvement in terms of how we performed. Just to remind the honourable members, in terms of the key priorities, they relate to the promotion of early childhood development, expansion of the child and youth care services, to combat the substance abuse, as well as the provision of food to poor households, which is a program called Food for All. As I said, the presentation is structured on the two quarters, which is the third and the fourth quarter, which is the period under we are reviewing on this. How we have structured all the slides in terms of each key performance area, we want to display how that key performance area relates, number one, to the overall government outcome, and how it's been structured in terms of being a DSD specific outcome, and what it was our annual target. That will be the trend in which this presentation is going to follow. The first performance area is around children. The annual target was to increase the number of children that are accessing early childhood development programs after school going age by 10%. And this annual target was relating to the outcome number one of quality basic education, and for as a DSD specific outcome, it is improved access to early childhood services. For the third quarter, we wanted to increase the number of these children by 2%, and what was actually achieved was an increase of 0.2% of children accessing both the early childhood development and special care.
Where's the financial? This is in the presentation.
Is the last section. Mr. Appel is going to have his presentation.
I don't have any financial.
Thank you. the omission from us as a department is that the financial were not handed to the right person for bringing to the portfolio committee here. Because we do have it. It was handed over to the right person in the department, but it's quite clear that it never reached the committee chair. What we can commit to doing, Chair, is the following. While Mr. Buthelezi is busy with the performance part, we can then go and make a copy that we can then distribute to the members. Members and allow such chair for us to
let me upfront apologize, Chairperson, that the document didn't reach you in time, but allow them to get the document while Subabu Telez is presenting this one. Will that be in order?
Yeah. It will be in order if... How big is the document? And your presentation will take you about 20 minutes? The committee is being extremely accommodating, Mr. Mahasela. So we'll give you 20 minutes to make those 40 slides for the honourable members. The problem that we're having is that we did not have the benefit of studying the document before presentation to the committee today. And but what we will do is we'll look at it and then obviously we need to have a follow-up meeting with the department after today. So we'll accommodate you for making the copies now, and if you aren't satisfied with it, we'll call you to another meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding the increase of the number of the strategic development, you will note, Honourable Member, that there was a substantial increase, especially in the third quarter. We far exceeded the target of 3% and we had achieved the 8%, which began then to augment the shortfall which had been observed in the third quarter. The second annual target regarding the children area was increased the number of children in foster care by 10%. In the third quarter, we targeted to increase the foster care by 2%, and we actually over-increased our annual target as we achieved about almost 14%, which was 13.7% on the number of children in foster care. In terms of the fourth quarter target, on the fourth quarter, we had targeted to increase the number of foster care by 3%, and we actually achieved 5% increase by the fourth quarter. Another specific area on children is in terms of the annual target was to increase the number of children that are accessing drop-in centers by 15% from a baseline of about 41,381. On the third quarter, we wanted to increase the number of new children accessing drop-in centers by 3%, and we far exceeded our target as we achieved almost 190% of students that were accessing drop-in centers. On the fourth quarter, we also did the same. We targeted 3%, and the actual achievement was 91% by end of the fourth quarter. Also around children, we wanted to screen, we targeted to screen 4,000 employees that are working with children against the child protection register, Part B, from a baseline of about 1,500. In the third quarter, in both the third and fourth quarter, we had targets of about 1,000 employees to be screened against the child protection register. And in the third quarter, we were able to screen about 8,408 employees, while on the fourth quarter, we were able to screen about 8,757 employees against the child protection register. The second performance area is the anti-substance abuse. Here we wanted to finalize and facilitate approval of the regulations for the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse as number 7 of 2008. This relates to the overall government outcome number, or people are feel are and feel safe, which is outcome number 3. And in terms of the DSD outcome specific, it is reduced in the death of substance abuse in communities. In the third quarter, I wanted to facilitate the proclamation of prevention of the prevention of treatment for substance abuse Act number 7 of 2008. By the end of the third quarter, the request for proclamation was done and it was awaiting approval by end of the third quarter. Then on end of the fourth quarter, the act was proclaimed and the regulation were promulgated. Also linked to the same outcome, the overall government outcome of all people in South Africa are able to save, we wanted to facilitate the approval for the National Drug Master Plan. In terms of the specific target for the quarter 3, we wanted to build capacity for implementing the National Drug Master Plan. And by end of the third quarter, the National Drug Master Plan was submitted for consideration and presentation to cabinet for approval. By end of the third quarter, we also wanted to build capacity for the implementation of the Drug Master Plan. And the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2017, Honorable Mendo, was developed and submitted for testing in Parliament. The third, another performance area, it links to the Zero Hunger as one of the ministerial priorities of Food for All. And this links to the outcome number 7 of vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities that are contributing towards food security for all. DSD wanted to improve access in terms of its outcome, wanted to improve access to the diverse and affordable food. As an annual target, we wanted to promote equitable access to food by 20,000 households. For the third quarter, we wanted to target 50,000 households. So in the third quarter, we wanted to facilitate access to food for 50,000 households. And by end of the third quarter, we achieved more than double the number as we ensured 102,654 households access food through Food Bank South Africa and 11,358 households access food through the household food and security program. This makes a total of 114,022 households who access food through different programs, two programs that I alluded to above. On the fourth quarter, we had targeted as well the 50,000 households to access food, and the actual achievement was 117,709 households were able to access food through DSD and Food Bank Food Nutrition Security Program. Also, on the Food for All, the annual target was to profile 200,000 households in 100 wards. In third quarter, we targeted to facilitate profile of 50,000 households, and the actual achievement was 16,796 households were profiled. On the fourth quarter, we also targeted to profile 50,000, and 98,429 households were profiled against this target of 50,000. We also had, beyond just the ministerial, as part of the ministerial priorities, we had a performance plan which was to provide support to child-headed households and orphans and vulnerable children. And this links to the outcome of a long and healthy life for all South Africans. And the other target was to provide psychosocial support services to almost 98,000 orphans and vulnerable children. And in the third quarter, we target to provide the psychosocial support to 24,900 orphans and vulnerable children. And the actual achievement was 155,753 of offices that received psychosocial support services. On the fourth quarter target, it was still 24,100 offices that had to receive psychosocial support. And the actual achievement was 158,771 offices received psychosocial support services. Still on the same performance trend on providing support to child-headed households and offices, we wanted to provide psychosocial support to 49,226 child-headed households. And on the third quarter, we are targeted to provide psychosocial support services to 14,766 child-headed households, and the actual assessment was 2,021 child-headed households that received psychosocial support services by end of the third quarter. And on the fourth quarter as well, we fell short in terms of our achievements, and we have targeted to provide psychosocial support services to almost 10,000 child-headed households, and we were only able to provide it to only 2,170 child-headed households, as seen in this presentation. Still on the child-headed households, services and offices, we wanted to provide psychosocial support services at the household level. Now, we have targeted that by the end of the previous financial year, 442,012 households would be targeted. And in the third quarter, we wanted to provide psychosocial support services to 633 households, and the actual achievement was 108,542 households that received this support. And on the fourth quarter, we had targeted 88,422 households, but what we achieved more than that is we provided psychosocial support to 232,364 households. The last area is on services to other persons, still linked to the outcome of all people are safe in South Africa. We wanted to register 90 community-based care support services for other persons, and for the third quarter, we are targeted to register 23 community-based care and support services that provide interventions and services to other persons. And of the 23 targets, we were able to register 39. On the fourth quarter, we targeted 24, and actually, we were able to register almost double as we registered 46 community-based care services that provided services to other persons. We also had targeted annually regarding on the older on services to older persons to increase the register of the residential care facilities to 206. For the third quarter, 26 we aimed to register, and we actually registered 44 by the end of the third quarter. And on the fourth quarter, we targeted to register 26. Actually, we ended up registering 28. Now, I want to present the picture of the overall performance using the three different colors. The green represents that there are no major actions, that are, it means there is achievement, and the yellow is for this remedial action that might be needed but is in progress, and the red suggests that there are major remedial action for the achievement, for us to be able to achieve it within the targeted period. In terms of the third quarter, the overall achievement on the fourth quarter, in terms of our target for the fourth quarter, we were able to achieve 45% of those targets, and in the 32% were still in progress, and 23% were not as yet achieved by end of the third quarter. This is a narrative of the previous slide. On the fourth quarter, we then had made progress because there were interventions, as I alluded to, Chair, in the beginning, that we did note the challenges and came up with interventions, and hence that's why we had that substantial improvement from the 45% to achieving 52.7% by end of the financial year. Yet 19% was still in progress, and 17.6% were yet not yet achieved by end of the year. I want to say, Chair, in closing, this the picture of how it looks like, and I'm sure this is what carried us to for the department even to achieve good report from the Auditor General, and which we are ready to present once we are invited to do so, which represents the annual performance, the overall performance of the department under the Kriba Financial Year. I would like to end here, Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you.
Mr. Mahatala and Honourable Members, thank you, Mr. Patelezi. Mr. Mahatala, can we go over to the financials?
Okay. just in terms of the, thank you, the financials, specifically for quarter three and quarter four, quarter three, we spent 24.9% of our budget, or 27.9 billion. In quarter four, we spent 24.68, or in terms of spend, 27.67 billion. If we just look in a quarter comparison, we have almost spent on a straight line, and on average, we have spent 24.77 per quarter. And that's not a spike in the last quarter. With regards to the expenditure per program, in terms of administration, quarter one, 59 million. In terms of the social grant, 26.1 billion. The social security policy, 1.5 billion. The welfare services and policy development program, 165 million. And social policy integrated services, 7.6 billion. Total expenditure for quarter 27.95 billion. For quarter four, administration 77 million. Social assistance 25.94 billion. Social security policy and administration 1.5 billion. The welfare services policy development implementation support 8 million. And social policy integrated service delivery, 69.6 million. Total 27.67 billion spent. The total expenditure then for the year amounts to 111.1 billion, and that represents a 99.08% of the total budget. In terms of economic classification, I'm just going to go through the percentages. In terms of compensation, we spend 96.95% of the budget at the end of quarter four. Goods and services, 91.69%. Transfers and subsidies, 99.1%. And capital assets, 81.93%. Total, we spend 99.08 of the budget. With regards to the goods and services, if you look back at the goods and services, we will see that quarter four, we went from, in quarter two, 73 million, 78 million quarter three, and then quarter four, we went to 106. Our explanation in terms of that increase in the last quarter is mainly around the welfare month, of the October month, festivities, which is our initial spend, 4.8 million. The national youth camps, which also happened in the later part of the year, 6.6 million. 14 million towards the Elderbirth Scheme for experts aging. And then the NPO Summit and Provincial Dialogue, 6.2 million. It's just the explained spike in food and service. Also, with regard to capital assets, delayed the procurement process, however we finalized the procurement. In total, we spent 7.2 million. And on the upgrade of technology services and software for the department, and the upgrade of security equipment to be compliant with security. Also, the other issue that caused an increase to 9.9 million as relates to the write-off of irrecoverable social assistance. Now, we implement a whole range of actions to improve financial management and expenditure within the department, and those one paid off. We streamline procurement and spending plans, make sure that there's procurement and spending plans in place. We've improved the function of procurement committees. We've developed a payment procurement monitoring system. make sure that monthly reporting of expenditure against budget and plan by program managers are tracked in various management meetings. We have regular interdepartmental meetings to resolve disputes and outstanding matters, and we have improved on our oversight to NGOs that we see in class. The Gantt chart on the social system grant, again, we spend about 26 billion per quarter. If we go a little bit deeper into social grants, on the old age grant, on average, 10 billion per month, per quarter. The total spend was 99.97% or 14.4 billion. War veterans, we spend on average 2.3 billion per month, or 73.97 for the year, which amounts to 9.5 million for the year. On foster care, disability, 4.3 billion in quarter three, 4.3 billion again in quarter four. It amounts to 17.6 billion for the year and 497.64% of the total budget. On foster care, we spent 1.418 billion in quarter three, quarter four, 1.2 billion. In total, 5.3 billion for the year, or 94.96% of the budget. Cadet benching grant, 471.8 million and 471.9 million in quarter four, amounting to 1.8 billion for the year, or 98.95%. Child support grant, we spent 9.56 billion in quarter three, 9.55 billion in quarter four, in total 38.08 for the year, or 99.42% of the total budget. The grant in aid, 60.1 million in quarter three, 1.18 in quarter four, or 273.97 million and the total for 97.08% and the percentage of the total budget. Social relief, 55 million in quarter three, and by an increase in need, 99.2 quarter four. In total, we spent 239.2 million for the year, or 93.77%. Total grant expenditure for the year, Chairperson, 103.89 billion for the year, or 99.06% of the budget. Underspent on social grants in total, 989 million. Underspending of 989 mainly driven by beneficiary numbers, application process and grant values, which is linked to the economic factors, policy changes, and the payment model decision. And lastly, CPI inflation rate. And the unpaid failing is mainly savings on the total budget of 104 billion related to the unpaid grants, as well as expenses lower than the projected when setting the budget requirements, specifically on foster care, care dependency, and child support grants. Our expenses, in terms of finance, overall we received the department and the agencies received unqualified orders, and we continue to maintain an overall spending of more than 98% for the year under review. Grant 36%. Coverage and a take-up rate of 80% for older persons and 70% for child support grants. We've increased increase the efficiency of the application process. We lower the turnaround time on applications in 21 days, and the backfill resulting in decreased expenditure. We put a electronic biometric database for beneficiaries. We introduced the chip-enabled sub-branded smart card. We've incorporated the previously unbanked and underbanked beneficiaries into the banking community. We've reduced the risk of beneficiaries having to draw all their money. The re-registration project of beneficiaries has resulted in numerous beneficiaries requesting voluntary cancellation of the social grant, which is also resulting in savings. And we've increased the social grant gateways where people can withdraw their money from the cash pay point and select merchant stores in Asia. In terms of the disability grant, we've implemented standardized medical assessment form and create awareness on the disability assessment tool. And we've introduced standardized quality assurance process. Child support grant, we've realized the extension of the child support grant to children up to the age of 18. Challenges. There's an increased demand for services versus declining resources. The shortage of social work results in the inability to provide the services. And war veterans, we receive less new applications. And also due to the passing of beneficiaries. Disability grants now are affected by people with chronic conditions excluded from their social system. Care is dependency, a low number of children access the grant, and the exclusion error, children with sensory communication and sensory disability are excluded from the system, mainly due to the lack of understanding of what is foster care, the delay in finalizing the foster care placement order, which affects the number of applications for foster care, and inadequate capacity in terms of social workers to assess new cases. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, not in
thank you. Honourable members, there you have the two presentations on the performance and on the financials. Is there any questions? Honourable Mora.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, maybe before I ask my question, I just wanted to clarify one issue that Deputy Minister, I did not politicize anything. I was talking to issues of implementation that comes as a challenge when it comes to that part. I don't remember saying anything. Thank you, Chairperson. On slide 9,
I was just giving an advice that all of us must remember that we do not politicize this issue and we deal with it.
The Child Protection Register, the 8,408 employees that have been screened against both Part A and Part B. Okay, in quarter 3 and quarter 4. I just want to know, in terms of both quarters, how many were found fit to work with children and how many were found not fit to work with children in both quarters? If you can give us that figure. And then on on your financial financials, I don't see the main slide where I've written them. On slide, it's page 4, slide, I think it's slide 8, page 4. The older person's golden games, can you explain those up? I'm not clued up, maybe I'm ignorant, but if you can just tell me more, actually. What are the golden games? What exactly happens during that time? Chairperson, I'll look for the financial question that I've jotted down in one of these papers.
I'll move on to Ms. Kamala.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with the first presentation on all the persons. Page 17. I've seen the increased registered number, but I will get the clarity. So what happens if there is a targeted number, only to find that the registered number now it is increased in terms of the support staff that has to take care of those older persons? I will get the clarity on that one. The second presentation, Chair, on page 7, under social assistance grant, under that understanding of that amount of millions, there is a slide that shows savings on the total budget of 104 billion related to unpaid grant. I just want to clarify what type of grants that are regarded as unpaid grants. Thanks.
Thank you. Other honourable members? Just going to page 18 of the first presentation. It says performance trained services to older persons. And looking at your fourth quarter tops and achievements was to register 26 residential care facilities, but you registered 78 residential facilities. Is it poor planning on the department side in terms of its targets? Or was it the slow processing of registration? Can you explain to us why you registered 78? Or was why did you go over your target? Why did you register 78 instead of the 26? Just explain to us why you went over your target. And then in terms of the slide, and then when you go to the financials, I think it's the slide that deals with the grants. It says that I'm quite interested in this one on the war veterans, that you've only spent 73%. Of the budget. Why this underspending? I know it's a very unique grant. People are very old that are receiving this grant. Let me just put my specs up because I see the minister has joined us. Welcome, Honourable Minister. The war veterans. So just explain to us that 73%, is it due to natural attrition? What is the phenomenon around this, the 73% spending on the grant when you look at all the other grants are in 90% in terms of its spending? And then in terms of the child support grant, it looks as if it's a grant that is very well accessed by South Africans in general. So I just want to do you see the ground growing in terms of demand? Because if I look at the grant, it's the child support grant and the elderage grant is a grant that is quite optimally accessed. I just one more question. In terms of the equalization of the elderage grant, do we see increased take up of men at 60 and over accessing the grant now? And if we could get more information around, because we have a CEO here on the under expenditure on social grants, social assistance grants. Let me stop there. I don't know whether there's other honourable members that in the meantime want to ask a question or two. You're fine? Okay, thanks. Give over to you for the response.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Regarding the number of people found unfit, I will provide information because I have to verify the figures. I will provide the figures to the committee. Then the second one that says, what are the Golden Games? Golden Games are part of our active aging program. There are various programs that we implement as active aging, inclusive of Golden Games, your intergenerational programs, etc. This Golden Games is informed by various sporting codes, and they happen from provincial level, then every year we have one national program that brings all the provincial participants together.
There is another question which was on page 18, on older persons, residential care facilities. The target was 26, but we ended up registering 78. What was the reason behind this?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. The target 26 versus 78 achievement is purely under targeting. I think it's a challenge that we are constantly confronted with that we're trying to address, because the target was 26, looking at the number of resources we've got, but at the end, with the assistance of provincial departments, we managed 78, which is overachievement than the 26 that was planned.
I would ask maybe on the
question.
No, I wanted to add on the resolution on the targeting. What some of the questions relate to us as well as the information unit, and it's part of the challenges that I said, Chair, we might be able to present here. These are some of the issues that should pick up, and as a result, working closer with the strategy unit and the finance, we've institutionalized much more regular performance reviews to assist the program managers on issues of targeting. It's not only about under-targeting, it's also about the first quarter and second quarter. There was much more poor performance, and it picked up as the year unfolded because of many other internal or external factors that at times might require the implementation of a particular program to include even provincial departments. So it's a combination of factors, as you have said, and we've been able to iron them out, and we've institutionalized much more performance review, which are program-specific, which we are implementing together with the support functions, such as the finance, as well as the industry. Also,
question. Thank you, Chair. Ms. Peterson, please, the question that relates to social grants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson and Committee, Minister, Deputy Minister. In terms of what we understand about unpaid, if a grant has not been collected in 90 days, it will lapse. If we look at the year under review, we were looking at the re-registration year.
in which we had a significant number of cancellations or people voluntarily giving up their grants. In fact, 941 persons in those two quarters did not come forward or either gave up their cards voluntarily because they were not entitled. Therefore, the savings of 989 million out of 104 billion is reasonable against that number for at which month they cancelled. In terms of the war veterans being reduced to 73%, we are talking about people who fought in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War. It is obviously as a result of people dying annually. We would have started the year with, or that second quarter we had 606 war veterans and we were down to 587 through natural causes because they had died and passed on, therefore the deduction check. Child support grant, while currently we have 11 million children on the child support grant, we would have started in that year with 10.2 million. During the re-registration program, 350,000 children files were incomplete as a result of the child not staying with the primary caregiver or that was not clearly identified. The mother could be in Johannesburg while the child was in KZN or East London for that matter. And when we did the re-registration, we found that we had to be clear, is the gogo the primary caregiver for that child? Then the money should not be collected in Gauteng, it should be collected in East London. So these are the matters we're currently dealing with. So for there will be a temporary, probably the first quarter, where there will be a slight decline in child support grants. And then you will see the increase because we will start going after children have been identified in research, particularly in the Western Cape and Gauteng on the peri-urban, almost the verges of the city, where their parents are not sure because of their earning and under-earning whether they qualify. So we'll do an extensive campaign on the means test for child support grant, which will see an increase after this initial decline against the 350,000. It's not just the children aren't there, it's who they are with and who's receiving the money. And these cases are currently being investigated. So we will see an increase in the latter part of this year, not right now while we do the investigation. In terms of the equalization, we will see a stabilization because in the beginning there seemed to be a spurt of an increase of men coming onto the system. But in this country, as we're well aware, that men tended to make better arrangements for their aging going over the means test than women. So we will continue to monitor the equalization. But people who should be on are on. We've been back contacted guests during the past year and a half, and we've seen an increase in both men and women who previously were working in government particularly, but were at the first one to two levels in government and therefore qualified to come onto the system. And those were the questions that were specifically put to us, Chair. Just to say that re-registration yielded a result of 93% of the 16 million grants affecting 21.7 million people have come forward for a face-to-face re-registration, which is a picture, a 10-finger biometric, and a receipt of their card. Thank you.
There's another question that was raised on whether are we projecting growth in the demand for the child support grant or the old age grant.
I will more fully deal with that. I had indicated that whilst we're dealing with the re-registration and cases, there would be an increased demand as we further inform people of their rights, particularly in terms of the means test. That is the issue. Our issue particularly needs some reform that we'll have to look at in terms of policy where men and women, this is your spouse, we haven't delinked them yet. And if that happens, then women will be able to come forward a lot more whilst their husbands have incomes. At the moment, that's still a link in terms of the means test, but there will be a demand. And as we move to 2016, where we will obviously have uniformity, where everybody will be entitled to university as grant. Thank you, Chair.
Just to add on that, Chair, is also that, as you do know, we are moving towards universalization of both the child support grant and the old age grant, which may be the factor in the slight increase of the grant. Also, it's about demographic trend. We are, as we speak, as a country, having one of the most successful HIV/AIDS programs. South Africans are living longer. Our life expectancy is gradually increasing. If indeed this is a trend that gets established over a period, it's likely then that you're going to be having people who, in the past, say, a couple of years have been dying, say, would now live longer because of better treatment and the other support that they are receiving from government. And the last point of call for us, Chair, for now at least, has been the projections that have been made by National Treasury in the medium-term expenditure framework when they look at the growth in demand of grants. That's substantial. It does not depart from the figure of about 3% of the total government revenue that was spent. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, when they talk about the elder grant, I'm reminded by the problem that I was experiencing, facing it in my area, in number 1212, my boy section, ward 110, where the granny, she's not able to walk. She's always sitting in the bed. I'm reminded because there was a presentation here, I don't know, maybe last year or this year early, where the SASSA said they will go to re-register those people in their house. But they did not. That training issue was ending up to being cut to get granted. And if you want to make sure that you know that you must go to the Midrand SASSA office and will ask by number 1212 in Maibuye what happened that. Until me, I'm intervening on that, and I tell my chairperson, write a letter to the I don't know who, because they were calling me after my chairperson writing a letter, and I told them that they must go there and assist that granny. They go there, they found that her grant has been stopped because she didn't register, which means she wasn't able to go register. She don't have a left. Thank you, Chair.
In every system, and that is also if you look at the unclaimed grants, the percentage of unclaimed grants, you have people that fall through the system and don't collect the grants. And obviously, in terms of a house visit, this beneficiary was one of those unfortunate ones that was missed. So you will have those people in the huge process. It's like always when you get a wrong idea. And I became a Fikile Kumalo and Fikile Kumalo becoming a London voter. It's because you have millions of people on the data system, so there will be a visa. But you have to look at the percentage of people that fall through the cracks, like versus the people that went through the legislation process to see whether it's been a success or not. And that's really important for us to make sure. But I think you also raise a very important point as public representatives. We have to take up these issues when we come across them and make sure that services are delivered to them. And that's very important. Honourable Minister, Ms. Peterson, and then I give over to the Honourable Minister, Sarah Peterson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think some people took it for granted that because they were over a certain age, they had to phone and make appointments. What we had also is that people would go to the home and the person would not be there. We've had countless, our target for finishing home visits would have been exactly a month after the closure of re-registration. But because the appointment and having to take all the equipment, it could take us up to 2 hours to process because you have to go to the individual residence. We have to take time because our people were at home. So some people are dependent on their families phoning us to make the arrangements. That didn't happen. Google will say, oh, did my grandson call you? You know, so we had those things. But yes, some people did, and we looked at the percentage, which was less than 1%, where the list correlation between our list and CPS list wasn't the same. So there was a variance. By majority, we hope to complete the home visits by the end of next month because of the many return home visits, because we thought people would be in their homes if they had put on the system. We must also remember some people, while elderly and over 75, are not in this country. And you are not entitled to this grant if you're out of this country for more than 90 days. Because we have had people call us and saying, oh, why did you cut my mother's grant? She didn't pre-register. Where is she? No, she's in California for 18 months. Now, the point is we have a law that says you have to be a resident here, not just a South African, you have to live here. If you visit your children, you have to inform us, and we will advise about the period of time. So there are, and particularly this province, we found that we had to currently actually go do actual checks at the home to see if people are there, because they are not in this country at this time. So there are many anomalies that have come out of the re-registration process. But we've tended to re-establish everybody who's over 75 by going to find out where they really are and check with the neighbors. Because we have to do that, because we have an act that says you have to be in the country. So we apologize and we will follow up if there's anybody who feels there's a member of the public that has been overlooked in our home visits, because we haven't completed them. We will check if her or his name is on our list, chairperson. We'll make every effort. We find a man there in Maponya Mall, which means
that
find that they are giving the people a paper that you are number so and so, and they give him, he will take a week coming to the registration place point and not get registered. And you'll remember that when they came with their kids, and always the kids must be absent at school to come and register. But we find that we realize that on the oversight. But also in terms of report chairperson, we have also to set SASA is doing very well in terms of finances. We also acknowledge the unqualified report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we also see our Mr. Mahasela to respond to these issues and then give over to the Minister to conclude?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I just want the Minister Peterson to respond on the Maponia Mall issue, specifically the Minister. And then you can just conclude everything for us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there are quite a few areas that have come up on our radar that, first of all, the population size against the office is not acceptable. We have looked at the numbers in that area and we've actually determined whether we would start to further offices there. But the problem is more endemic. There is an issue of further work that has to be done with particularly the officials in that office. We have a plan. I don't feel I can give you a reasonable date sequence in this room right now, Chairperson, but I will be able to report at a later date when we've conducted the work that we are doing, and indeed it's unannounced, in order to determine what is happening in the Mopanya Mall. But we will also be starting two more service points in that area. But there is stuff that must be done there that requires investigation, Chairperson. And I would be quite prepared to come back at another date with a more detailed report to this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mahasela, you enter up this time.
Thank you, Chair. I did not want to speak before, after the Minister.
Yeah.
Safe to say that, Honourable Member Kaba, one of the questions that the Minister has is for us as NDA, SASA and DSD, through auxiliary social workers, through child and youth care workers, through community development workers, to make sure that the types of examples that you are giving do not come as a surprise, because it's about us as a department going to our citizens and not always waiting for the citizens to come to us for them to get the service. So instances like the one that you're referring to, where a person who's as old as you're explaining finds themselves having not been registered because they're not even able to go to the SASA facility. So right now, Minister, we are implementing the Mikonzo project, which is looking at how does Department of Social Development with the agents do these following things. The first one is the location of our services, where our services in relation to our citizens are located. Number two, the important issue that we're looking at is the issue of access. How readily are our citizens able to access any service that they need, be it a social worker, be it a SASA official, is it assistance that they need from the NDA? The third one, which is also quite important, is the issue of the quality of our services. And then third, the availability, the readiness, and the competence of the people who work with us. But one most important underlying issue, all these things that I have mentioned, is that we are now going to our people, rather than, say, going to an Imbizo, a community outreach, and then we face that there's this big challenge in this community. So how we seek to structure the department, unfortunately, Honorable Member Klaba, I'm talking of a plan. I wish I was saying things that we've already done in the last 2 years, but
clear, we are actually very clear about where social development and its services fits, and therefore gets assessed by our people. Just to end, Chair, the war room in KZN, you know, we have found that through the war room, that kind of model that has been adopted is missed by that process. They have regular meetings that include all government departments at the local level. So if there is a child or a birth certificate, if there is, for instance, an elderly person who will be in the same situation that you are describing, that person will be known. Because the child and youth care worker, the auxiliary social worker, the community development worker, the health development worker, they all come together and meet on a very, very regular basis at the war room, where problems then are immediately addressed. We're looking at formulating a way of interfacing with our communities and our citizens that approximates something of that sort, so that we eliminate the surprises that always come up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mahasela. I'll now go to Honourable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, I would like to apologize for being late. Nature did something very unbelievable to me today. Chairperson, for the past 2 years, around October, we've been having activities that are related to October month. And then what we've been finding out in various areas, it's one and the same thing. And they are in all provinces. It's not that they are in a few provinces. For instance, you would find out that there are children that stay on their own. There is malnutrition. The access of psychosocial services. Our programs of integrated development, as well as grants. We also did a desktop study on grants and found out that people start applying for grants when their kids are at the age of 2 or 3. So we then agreed to start with a program that will focus on the 1,300 poor wards that were identified by Statistics South Africa, as well as the war on poverty structure that is there nationally. And we are trying to ensure that we break the apartheid structural limitations that were there that we have not broken. Because people still pay a lot to come to our services, and even if we say this must come to an end, it continues. And there are things that, for instance, we have to learn from other departments, because others have learned from us. Home Affairs has learned a lot from us, and we've been saying that we can also learn from them the issue of giving numbers to people. We've been saying that no one should be turned back at our service points. And I'm very disappointed to find out that this is still happening. And I think Honourable Member Baba is correct when she says we must do impromptu visits, because they are going to assist us to have the real experience of what is happening on the ground. So I think as soon as we leave here, we are again going to send out a memo to SASA service stations and say no one should be turned back. And one other thing that we had said during the process of registration was that when people are not re-registered, they must be given funds for coming back. Because we serve the poor, how do you expect them to pay for transport 5 times and finish the money they don't have, because when they come to us, to SASSA, it's very clear, they come to apply for a grant. So I think with Ms. Dai, we have to try and correct this situation as soon as we can. I also agree to an issue of close monitoring. But one other thing that Virginia is afraid maybe of pronouncing is that we are again in, extending our access when it comes to pension payout points. We want to ensure that in far-flung areas, we work with businesses there. And then secondly, have more pay points. So, and also, we want to ensure that at least we, our people are able to access us at a world level. But we are going to start with the 1,300 awards, because they are the ones that fall under the those that are poverty stricken. So we are going to be launching very soon our program, and we believe it's going to work. But what is more important is that social development is not seen as a a department that that can create jobs. We also think that it is coming up with an element of creating jobs. One other thing that we want to try and do is to register queer children from birth, so that we don't lose them, because we are part of the UN decision of the first 1,000 days. And if you want to ensure that you cover the first 1,000 days, children must get the grant from birth. And then lastly, Chairperson, I think there is an issue that we keep undermining. Makasela touched on it, the issue of demographics. But one other challenge that we are having when it comes to the registration of children is that most unemployed people decide to go to big cities. And you will find out that unregistered children are not in the rural areas as we've been thinking before. They are at the periphery of cities like Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, and we think that is where we have to strengthen our campaign for registering children, because UNICEF has always been saying there are 2 million children that are not registered, and we would fight with them and say, no, we don't have unregistered children for the grant. So at least we've located where the problem is. Golden Games, I think we almost all understand what the Golden Games are. But maybe before I end, I think the issue of paying the child support grant up until the age of 18 years is it's very good, and it's accepted internationally, because we are one of a few countries that pay child support grants. But when we had the dialogue after our budget speech this year with the youth that comes from a youth-headed household or that has the experience of a child-headed household, they ask us a question: what happens to us when we pass grade 12? And we tried to say, but there is a bursary. And they said, but what comes to the basic things that we need as young people at university? So those are all some of the issues we are trying to tease out. And like a child foster grant, at least if a child goes to tertiary, we can fund up to the age of 21, which means that that is very focused. It is for children that are school going. It's not for everyone. And I thought that maybe we should, as social development, start also looking at the children that are the recipients of the child support grant, and also look at the issues of definitions, because we have our own constitutional definition of what a child is. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. I think just the other issue that the CEL was just the one that we picked up on our oversight to Maponyamo was the regional manager said to us that the CEL has given him instruction that there should be a cut of time for people to register people on the system. So after 4 o'clock, people couldn't be registered, if honourable members can remember correctly. So that's why people were turned away after 4. Now, I think what we, because you see, honourable Gaba, I've already spoken to the CEO, I think a day or two after our visit to the Maponya Mall and told about these things. So I think this was the one matter that I didn't raise with her. So can she look at the whole basket of issues that were raised and also the issues that I raised with her, and then she can come back to us at a later stage. Okay. Thank you very much, honourable members. Thank you very much, Minister, Deputy Minister, for being here, for participating in the meeting. I think we had a fruitful session with the White Paper on Families and also the second part of the meeting, although you should, in future, you won't be as lenient. This is like your last reprieve, Department of Social Development. You come and present to us documents during the meeting and before the meeting. Thank you very much, honourable members. The meeting